السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program of Sheikh Sajid Omar every Friday afternoon between 2 and 3 Southern African time. We welcome Sheikh Sajid with us on the line. Sheikh Sajid, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيك أخي الكريم.
How are you keeping, Sheikh Sajid?
اللهم لك الحمد. Keeping well and hope you're doing the same.
Alhamdulillah, it's been a long time since we last done a program together.
Yes, it has been quite a long time, and subhanAllah, even you know, the weekly wait is a long time. So subhanAllah, this has definitely been something that has required patience from both of us. May Allah accept.
I mean, inshallah. Sheikh Sajid, if you don't mind, perhaps for the benefit of the listeners, I know 1 or 2 weeks this way, that way, we could not record because of times and things like that, or not have the program. But prior to that, Sheikh, you were on some travels. I know that you were in Qatar at one stage, you were in the UK. Went out for some programs and lectures, Sheikh Sajid?
Yes, alhamdulillah. It was a good program that was set over the course of 6 to 8 weeks. So there was about 3 weeks of programs in the UK, 2 weeks of programs in Australia, alhamdulillah, in Melbourne. And then we had the week in Doha, and travel was done as well to the UAE, walillahi alhamd. So all in all, it was a fruitful trip, mashallah, many different da'wah organizations I was fortunate to have visited. And many different audiences I was fortunate as well to address, walillahi alhamd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and inspire the message to resonate with all those that heard it, inshallah.
Inshallah. In Doha, you held a conference in a place called Qatar, am I correct?
Yes, it's an events venue, Qatar. Mm-hmm. A beautiful sort of setting, purpose-built setting, and they have this amphitheater, as they call it, which really looks like something out of Rome. You know, when you have the bull ring, and it's an amazing venue. Obviously, open venue; it's not an enclosed venue. Mashallah. And for those who go online and see some of the pictures of the event, it was extremely unique. Mashallah. So I was out there for the Doha Islamic Convention for 2015, that was themed around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and honoring the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I actually seen it on Twitter, because in December I was there, and I went out to Qatar, like you said, really amazing, beautiful. Just unfortunately, when I was there, the weather was extremely, extremely cold.
Cold,
so I even said to my family that had the weather been a bit better or more on the warmer side, we'd have actually enjoyed and appreciated the place. And it's built right on the waterfront and yes, the theater and things like that. But like I said, in our situation, it's like rather, it was bitterly cold, so it was a bit difficult to really enjoy it, especially like you're saying, it's all about outdoors there.
Yes, and I mean, we had the event in February and it was still cold, but obviously not as cold as December. So the Middle East does get pretty cold, and they've had a cold winter this season, as you've seen in some of the countries where snow's fallen as well. So even with us, we were pretty much wrapped up, and this was in February, so I can imagine what you encountered in December, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Rabbul Izzah accepted, inshallah,
yourself
and all those people that participated.
Ameen ya Rabb. Barakallahu
feek.
Allah is most kind.
So Sajid, back to our program, inshallah. Many of the listeners awaiting it and wanting to continue with the beautiful discussion and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the book known as Riyad al-Salihin. And today, inshallah, we're going to be continuing with that discussion.
أكرمك الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وعملا. يا كريم، رب اشرح لي صدري، ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. To everyone at the radio station, to all our listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As was said, This is Riyadh al-Salihin, or the program titled Riyadh al-Salihin, titled after the book of Hadith compiled by Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh. And alhamdulillah, we've had quite a fruitful venture over the past 3 years, alhamdulillah, covering a large portion of the book. We did start in the first volume and then took a bit of a jump so, you know, we could get to Kitab al-Adab, and that's what we've been traversing with over the many months thus far. And alhamdulillah, in our last live session together, we reached the end of the etiquettes pertaining to eating, and we started the etiquettes of sleeping and lying and sitting. And when I say lying, I'm talking about lying down, not lying in speech. So we have chapter 127, as is documented in the publication that I am using, and we have the first hadith, which is the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu an, and that is hadith 814 for those who are following in their books. As I said before, we might have slight variations in terms of the numbering, but that's fine. If you get to the beginning of the book of the etiquettes of sleeping, that is where we are at. In this particular book, Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi kicks off the discussion with the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhuma, and he says, or in this particular hadith, we find this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا أَوَى إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ نَامَ عَلَى شِقِّهِ الْأَيْمَنِ ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَسْلَمْتُ نَفْسِي إِلَيْكَ وَوَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِي إِلَيْكَ وَفَوَّضْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ وَأَلْجَأْتُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكَ رَغْبَةً وَرَهْبَةً إِلَيْكَ لَا مَلْجَأَ وَلَا مَنْجَأَ مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ. In this particular narration, it says, لا ملجاء ولا منجاء إلا إليك. In another narration, منك إلا إليك. And then, آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. And this hadith is reported by Imam al-Bukhari in his compilation of hadith, which is considered the most authentic book after the Quran. So this hadith is authentically attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any doubt. The translation of this hadith is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to bed, he would lie down on his right side. So take note of this point, the right side, and then he would recite an invocation. And the meaning of the invocation is, O Allah, I have submitted myself to you, and I have turned my face to you, and I have committed my affairs to you, and I depend on you for protection, out of desire for you and out of fear for you, or fear of you rather, meaning the fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is no refuge and no place of safety from you, but with you I believed in the book you have revealed and in the prophet you have sent. So this is an invocation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus we see how close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his waking right to his sleeping. And again, this highlights how complete our religion is, how complete Islam is, that even though, you know, the mighty matters of Tawheed and the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his lordship and in his worship and in his names and attributes, you know, how mighty these matters were, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bringing this function back to this world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still had time in you know, the short 23 years to teach us even how to sleep, which teaches us that, you know, Tawheed is far more comprehensive, and belief in one Allah is far more comprehensive than, you know, just the matters of the heart, and just matters specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It encompasses those matters between human beings, those matters between a human being and his or her environment, those matters even with regards to the character of the human being, the practices of the human being, the physical, more tangible matters in the life of a human being, such as sleeping. And I think we all appreciated this when we spoke about the adab of eating, and after that we spoke about the adab of dressing, and now we are here talking about the adab and manners of sleeping. Right? So just forgive me, earlier on I said before this we were discussing the adab of eating. After that we actually discussed the adab of dressing. So the sharia even encompasses this. And then now we have the adab of sleeping. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sleeping, and he would actually sleep on his right. In another narration pertaining to this dua, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a person, if he or she reads this dua and passes away during that night, then this person will die upon Islam. Allahu Akbar. Right? So this is not mentioned in this narration, but I have come across a narration which mentions this dua and actually teaches us that the person who makes this the last thing that they recite before they sleep, then they will pass away upon Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to pass away whilst He is pleased with us, and as believers, and with Jannah being our abode. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower mercy upon all those who have passed away. Ameen. So brothers and sisters, we have this hadith. Now we learn many things from it. Firstly, we learn that, you know what, sleeping is an important matter, because if it wasn't important, it wouldn't have all these adab. So the sharia considers sleep something important, and yes, the sharia has taught us about sleep, as we've seen here in the sunnah. And for those who haven't realized it yet, then the sharia has also taught us about sleep in the Quran, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum in ayah 23 says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from the signs of Allah, the signs of Allah's presence, the signs of Him being the ultimate Lord, the only one worthy of worship, from the signs of this is what? Is your sleep. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. One would think that, you know, we from the signs of Allah, Allah will mention something that you and I consider, you know, much greater. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from the signs of Allah is the sleep that you enjoy, is the sleep that you experience, bilayl, at night. And one nahar, and even during the day, because we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to do something known as a qaylula, which is a nap, right? That one should experience practice during the day if possible, because this nap then allows you to be fresh for the rest of the day, especially for those who are spending the night in worship. So when we sleep, the body rests. And how do we know this? We know this from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar in ayah number 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is Allah who causes the self to die. Hina mawtaha, at the time of death. Wallati lam tamut, and as for the soul that's not supposed to die, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes it to experience a type of death. When? During sleep. Right? So here the Quran is teaching us another angle, another dimension to this sleep that you and I practice every day. Allah is telling us that when you go to sleep, you actually experience a type of death. And the ulama, rahmatullahi alayhim, tell us that sleep is actually the lesser death. And if you pass away in your sleep, then it's the easiest way of passing away. Why? Because when you sleep, your soul is partially lifted. Your soul is partially lifted. So, your soul is not completely with you. It's partially lifted. And this is why, you know, the whole discussion about dreams comes in, and true dreams, and these mubashirat, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about. Why? Because your soul enters a dimension closer to the hereafter. Right? So, this is the reality of sleep. So when you pass away, because your soul is partially lifted already, the angel of death is not removing your complete soul from the body. He's removing the part that has not been removed. So Allah tells us that He causes us to die partially during sleep. And this should be a wake-up call for each and every one of us. That subhanAllah, how many times do we sleep at night whilst we owe people money and we're really not trying our best to pay them back? How many times do we sleep at night and we're not speaking to, you know, some from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And let's bring it closer. We sleep at night and we're fighting with our relatives, and perhaps it's so petty and we've refused to speak to them and we refuse to return their salam. You know, we go to sleep at night and there's someone who needs our help urgently, and so on and so forth. This should be a wake-up call for us. You know, this is definitely something that should make us get to grips with reality. That subhanAllah, what if the soul is not returned back to us after we go back to, you know, we go to sleep and we won't see tomorrow? A lot of the time we sleep at night with this sense of security that we will see tomorrow. Yes, we have good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the bottom line is, nobody knows. Even when you awake, you don't know whether you witness the next second. So imagine when you're sleeping and your soul has actually departed you partially. Surely this, you know, this intimate feeling of responsibility should become even more manifestly present in the life of a believer when he knows that, you know what, my soul is with me when I'm awake, but when I sleep, it's partially departed. You know, I need to hang on to it, right? So Allah tells us that He does this when we go to sleep. Now, we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we will see from the adab of sleeping, is to also make a dua when you wake up in the morning. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sleep with a dua, he would wake up with a dua. And that dua is, Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana. And praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us life. Ba'dama amatana, after giving us death. Right? Wa ilayhi nushur, and unto him is our final return, an ultimate return. Now, why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this dua? And why is he teaching us to make this dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That hold on, we haven't passed away. Why are we saying praise be to Allah who gave us life after giving us death? Well, brothers and sisters, now you understand that we say this dua because in reality we did experience a type of death. And Allah gave us life after this death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references this whole concept in other parts of the Quran, such as the seventh juz, if my memory serves me right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is Allah who causes you to experience this type of death at night, and then causes you to be resurrected in the day and continue your day, and He sends you out to live another day until the final time comes in your life where you experience a death that does not allow you to witness another day. So Allah allows you then to go witness your next day, and then he's aware of everything you do during that day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then your final time will come and you will return to Allah, and Allah will resurrect you, and Allah will inform you about everything that you used to do. So this is just one of the ayat that further bolster our understanding from these ayat in Surah Zumar. So the Sharia has taught us in the Quran about sleep, and here we see mighty etiquettes taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about sleep. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who are aware of all our circumstances, all our situations, even when we go to sleep. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to pass away only when He is pleased with us. Ameen. Now, brothers and sisters, with regards to sleep, sleep is, you know, it's a blessing from Allah. And we know that it's a blessing because those who are sleep deprived, they consider their inability to sleep a sickness and a problem. Right? So with regards to the human being and on the level of the human being, one's inability to sleep is a sign of sickness. One's inability to sleep is a sign of blessings not being present. Right? But with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not affected by drowsiness nor sleep. So, from the completeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah doesn't sleep. But for mankind, from the completeness of mankind is mankind's ability to sleep, subhanallah. So this is another point to ponder over, right? In understanding, you know, how weak we are and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. That we are weak and Allah has given us sleep because we need to, and this sleep is a blessing, right? It's a blessing, and it's from the completeness of us, A person is said to be normal when they are able to sleep. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sleep patterns. I mean, and we don't have time to dive into it, brothers and sisters, but even from a scientific perspective, to further exacerbate our appreciation of this concept of sleep, then there's much documented about sleep and the sleep patterns and the way we sleep, and you know, the rapid eye movement sleep versus the non-rapid eye movement sleep, and sleep being a means of consolidating knowledge as well, and so on and so forth. We don't have time to go into it, but perhaps make a note in your books that you read up on it online, and you look for the necessary books that help you with this. Inshallah, what we will do is take a short break, and inshallah when we return we will continue with this discussion. Allahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Shukran, Sheikh Sajid.
The LMA congratulates parents who take the responsibility of basic Islamic education seriously and send their children to a reputable madrasa. The LMA will be hosting its ladies only market day on Saturday, 7th March 2015 at the LMA Hall. Sponsor a learner at 250 rand per month. For further details, contact the LMA on 011-854-3082.
Wrap it, pack it, fill it, close it, store it, void, throw it, zip it, sip it, or just stash it. You've got it. Stash It Distributors, for all your packaging and baking requirements. Stash It Distributors, 6 Clare Road, Fordsburg, 011-492-0033.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
With 27 four investment managers, you don't have to compromise your future or your values. Invest in 27 four investment managers Sharia compliant equity fund. After all, it is the top performing Sharia equity fund in South Africa. For all your Sharia compliant investment needs, call us today on 011-442-2464. That's 011-442-2464. 27 four investment managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Now that the food has reached the flood victims in Malawi and the flood waters receded, the damage is visible. Assist Crescent of Hope in rehabilitating the flood victims in Malawi. Your zakat, lillah and sadaqah contribution can make a difference. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370 or 011-854-1809. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
The Pick and Pay brand match is back. Save at Pick and Pay with great offers. Flora, fat spread assorted, 500 gram tub. Buy any two for 38 rand. Nola, mayonnaise assorted, 730, 780 grams, 1690. Pick and Pay fresh milk assorted, 2 litre, 1880. Huggies Gold disposable nappies for boys or girls. Size 3, 72s. Size 4, 60s. Size 4 plus, 54s. Size 5, 50s. 159.90. Brooks Oros Original Orange Squash, 2 litre, 21.90. Save even more time and money with Pick and Pay brand match. We shop around so you don't have to. Only at Pick and Pay. Prices valid 5 to 8th March. Prices apply to Gauteng store.
Colors of India brings you the India Fair at the Sebastimaj Hall, 264 13th Avenue, Lodium, from the 6th to 15th of March 2015. For 10 days only, we are open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Free entry and parking for all. Choose from a wide range of Punjabis, bridal outfits, tops, men's sherwanis, sterling silver and imitation jewelry, footwear, accessories, Kashmiri carpets, home deco and much more. Colors of India, your gateway to shopping pleasure at the Sebastimaj Hall, 264 13th Avenue, Lodium, powered by Help for Life Foundation.
It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the
Prophet. Radio Islam, making access to knowledge easy. Radio Islam, calling to Islam, calling to success. Future is now.
What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the program of Sheikh Sajid Omar every Friday afternoon between 2 and 3 Southern African time. So we have Sheikh Sajid back with us on the line. Sheikh Sajid, shukran for your time. Welcome back to the program.
Barakallahu feekum, akramakallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Brothers and sisters, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are continuing with the book related to the etiquettes of sleeping, chapter number 127 from Riyadh al-Salihin. We're discussing the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhuma. And if we further tap into this particular narration, we see that he teaches us an etiquette from the etiquettes of sleeping, and that is to sleep on our right side. And this etiquette is from the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we find in other narrations, and as we find also from his practice sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in terms of what he would actually do. He would lie down on his right side and then recite the invocation that we discussed just before the break. So this teaches us that from the manners of sleeping is to sleep on the right side. Now, sleeping on the right side should happen irrespective of where the Qibla is. I know a lot of people say, a lot of people ask me, is it better for me to face the Qibla or is it better for me to sleep on my right side? And the answer to that is, it's better for you to sleep on your right side as per the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as per his instruction in other narrations, not this particular one, but other narrations. And we know that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs to something, then it encompasses all circumstances unless he stipulates it. And as the scholars of jurisprudence methodology or usul al-fiqh say, they say, تَرْكُ الْإِسْتِفْصَالِ فِي مَقَامَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ يَجْرِي مَجْرَ الْعُمُومِ فِي الْمَقَالِ. This is a principle in usul al-fiqh which says that something remaining general with a matter that can have more than one interpretation teaches us that the generality is intended and it covers all circumstances. So the fact that the Prophet ﷺ commanded it and didn't say except if, you know, it causes your back to face the Qibla, teaches us that even if your back is facing the Qibla, you should sleep on your right side. So this is point number one. From the etiquettes of sleeping is we should sleep on our right side. However, are we allowed to sleep on our back? Are we allowed to sleep on our stomachs? Are we allowed to sleep on our left side? Inshallah, we will mature this discussion about these points as we move on, because there's other narrations pertaining to this. Then we move on to the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah, we recited the dua in Arabic, and alhamdulillah we shared the English translation, and you all have it inshallah in front of you on your notes. And for those who don't have the book copy, then this book is available online as a PDF copy as well. Now, one thing to note is or just an interesting thing to note with regards to this particular hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Al-Bara to repeat the hadith, to repeat the dua rather, and when he did, instead of saying wa bi nabiyyika alladhi arsalt, he said wa bi rasulika alladhi arsalt. So he swapped nabi and put the word rasul. Now this is, you know, with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a nabi and he is a rasul, and in previous discussions we've discussed the differences between nabi and rasul. We've already done this walillahi alhamd in previous discussions. But nonetheless, with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he was a nabi and he was a rasul. So when Bara switched it and said rasul instead of nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him. Now, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correct him when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a rasul anyway? Right? He is a rasul anyway. What's the problem if the Sahabi changed the Nabi for Rasul. Well, we learn firstly, brothers and sisters, that when it comes to matters of worship, then the matters of worship are tawqifiyah, meaning these matters are specific to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Right, so it's not that now we have the ability to chop and change and switch. No, we stick to how he taught us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is manifest in how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected his companion. Even though the meaning doesn't change, there's no change in meaning in essence, because the Prophet is a Nabi and he's a Rasul. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of saying no, don't say wa bi Rasul, say wa bi Nabi, teaches us that this is how Allah taught his messenger, and this is how his messenger taught us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should stick to it as it came to us, right? Because the best way is always taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following him is true to our testimony when we say in the article of faith, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right, when we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, when we say Muhammadur Rasulullah, we are saying there's no way to Allah except via his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we worship Allah, that is our way to Allah. So we don't have a way to Allah in worship except through the teaching of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means our worship has to be identical to his worship. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, when I say identical, I mean in terms of manner. Yes, in terms of quality, then that's a different issue, because it boils down to the strength of iman and the abilities of the believer. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best in terms of quality, the best worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of mannerism, then it must be the same. We can't choose a word here, chop a word there, and we say, there's no change in meaning, so I'm going to tweak it. Absolutely not. So this is the first thing we learn. The other thing, as the scholars say, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ensured that he said Nabi, because if you say Rasul, then it could entail Jibreel alayhi salam, because Jibreel alayhi salam is a messenger and specifically known as Rasul. Innahu laqawlu Rasul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jibreel alayhi salam as the messenger and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger. So if you say Rasul, somebody could perhaps understand from it that we're saying I believe in the book that you revealed, and I believe in the Rasul that you sent, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. And the dua is more specific and it intends Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. So when we say Nabi, then that takes out the possibility of anyone feeling that Jibreel alayhi salam was intended in the process. So these are two lessons that we learn from this particular hadith. Moving on to the next hadith is also the hadith of Al-Bara as well. So he has two narrations back to back, and that is the narration numbered 815 in the copy that I have, and he says قَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا أَتَيْتَ مضجعك فتوضأ وضوءك للصلاة ثم طجع على شقك الأيمن وقل. And then he mentioned this particular dua that we've heard the first hadith. And in this particular hadith, the Sahabi actually says وَاجْعَلْهُنَّ آخِرَ مَا تَقُولُ. So he says, and make sure that this dua is the last thing that you say. The last thing that you say. And some people do ask, should I say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is the last thing before I sleep? And my answer to you is, say it before you sleep, but make the last thing you say this invocation, because in this particular narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make it the last thing that you say. So what have we said in this narration? So basically this Sahabi is saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever you go to bed, perform wudu as you do for salah. Then before sleeping, recite, Oh Allah, I have submitted myself to you, so this is the dua we just discussed. And at the end of this hadith, the Sahabi says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he told me to make wudu and then recite this dua, he also told me to make sure that this dua is the last thing that I read. So this is basically what we have with regards to this particular dua. Then after that we have the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is hadith 816. And she says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي من الليل إحدى عشرة ركعة. فإذا طلع الفجر صلى ركعتين خفيفتين ثم اضطجع على شقه الأيمن حتى يجيء المؤذن فيؤذن. So in this particular hadith, which is also in Sahih al-Bukhari, as well as another authentic book of hadith known as Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to offer 11 units of optional salah in the latter part of the night or the last third of the night. And when it was about to dawn, meaning when the sun was about to when dawn was about to appear, he would offer two short raka'ah and then he would lie down on his right side. Okay, so he would lie down on his right side till the muazzin, the one who calls the prayer, would come to inform him that the congregation has gathered. So basically, we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular hadith, or from his practice as taught to us by his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, she is teaching us that he would pray 11 units of prayer at night, and then he would take a rest. Then when dawn or when Salat al-Fajr was coming about, he would offer two short units, which you and I know as the two Sunnah of Fajr, and then he would rest until the Muazzin would inform him that the congregation has gathered, meaning the congregation has gathered for the Fajr prayer. So this hadith throws light on the Prophet's night prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that which we would call tahajjud, right? And tahajjud in the Arabic language we would say is a term more specific to the one who sleeps and then wakes up. Because tahajjud is a term which entails the meaning of effort and, you know, experiencing a bit of difficulty. And effort and experiencing difficulty happens when you go to sleep and have to wake up. Because sleep is beloved to us, and waking up from that sleep requires effort. Now we have another term known as Qiyamul Layl, which is the standing of the night. The standing of the night is general, and it encompasses all the forms of prayers that we experience at night. And we know that from the night prayers is Taraweeh, which happens in Ramadan. From the night prayers is the Witr prayer. From the night prayers is general Nawafil or voluntary prayers that you observe, which if you wake up for them after sleeping is Tahajjud. So Qiyamul Layl, or the title translated as the standing of the night, this is a more general umbrella type of term which encompasses all the different salahs of the night, outside obviously of the compulsory salawat like Salat al-Maghrib and Salat al-Isha. So we get some guidance here about the night prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he would pray 11 units of prayer. And in another narration she said, Aisha radiallahu anha, that he would pray 13, and the scholars have had their different methodologies in terms of how they've joined between these narrations. Some say it was 11 and then the 3 was witr, which made it 13, some have said it was 8 and then he would offer the witr, which made it 11, and so on and so forth. There's different ways in terms of how the scholars joined between the two narrations of Aisha radiallahu anha, one where she says that he prayed 11 and the other one where she says that he prayed 13 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have some guidance in terms of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do at night. Now we must understand that, you know, sometimes he would pray less than even 11. So depending on the circumstance, the length of the salah, as we know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got older and weaker, so towards the end of his life, he never always managed to complete 11 units of prayer. So basically, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray what he could, and we know that the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was much longer. So based on the length of his prayer, because we know sometimes he would read the entire surah or Suratul Baqarah, the entire surah in one unit of prayer. Subhanallah. I imagine which one of us would stand in that sort of prayer. Allahul Musta'an. So basically the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would last, depending on obviously the quality of the prayer that he offered, and in most cases he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fit 11 units of prayer before the dawn would appear, and as we know from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would make sure that witr was the last thing that he would pray before Fajr would kick in. Now, we must understand, brothers and sisters, that if you fear not waking up, then make sure you pray your witr before you sleep. According to the majority of the scholars, this is a very stressed sunnah, and according to the Ahnaf or the Hanafi Mazhab, it's wajib, right? So, as we see, we've seen scholars who consider witr wajib, right? And even those scholars who say that it's like the Hanbalis and Shafi'is and Malikis, who say it's a very extremely highly stressed sunnah. I came across a statement of Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu wa rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Ahmad was asked about a man who leaves the witr prayer. Who leaves the witr prayer. And Imam Ahmad considered this person to be an evil person. Subhanallah. So, and in fact, I came across another question that was posed to the great Sahabi Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu an, about the witr prayer. And the person was asking him, asking Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu an, about the reality and the legality of the witr prayer. And, and Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu an, he was saying, is it compulsory? And Ibn Mas'ud would say the Prophet never left it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then afterwards, when he was asked that, why did you not just tell him? Why did you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never left it? And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu replied that when I looked at him, I feared that if I told him it was sunnah, he'll never do it. And if I told him it was compulsory, he'll never do it as well. So this is from the wisdom of a mufti, right? That you there's a concept in usul al-fiqh known as mura'at hal al-mustafti. Right, to consider the situation of the questioner. This is also from the intimate matters that a mufti needs to take care of and develop himself with when it comes to passing fatwa. And that's why fatwa is far different than just studying the books of fiqh, because fatwa is an element in and of itself, because fatwa now is taking the evidences and what the scholar said about it and laying it on a field that's suitable for it to be planted in. And this is how you got to think about it, right? So sometimes we have great seeds, but the land is not the right place to plant it. It requires a different type of seed or a different type of tree, for example. So fatwa is another science in and of itself. And for those who go on and read the fiqh books of those that became muftis and those were known for their abilities in fiqh, you will understand, or you will clearly see the intricate differences between those scholars and the more theoretical scholars who put down the fiqh views in their books. So this is just a side point and a footnote for us to take care of. So we see here from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, him teaching us what a stress sunnah or extremely important practice performing the witr prayer was. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even during travel, he never left two voluntary prayers. One was the sunnah before Fajr, and the next was the witr prayer. He never ever left it. So whether we say stress sunnah, whether we say wajib, the bottom line is, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't leave it. And as I said, the fact that the Ahnaf rahmatullahi alayhim have gone with the view that it's wajib, this teaches us that it shouldn't be a prayer that we should be lackadaisical with, excuse the terminology, or feel that we should, or it doesn't require our attention. No, brothers and sisters, it does. So Aisha radiallahu anha is teaching us the state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night. And it was the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his messenger so many wives. We know that when he passed away, if my memory serves me right, he passed away upon 9 wives, right? If my memory serves me right, this is true. So all of them had different areas of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us about, which another wife did not have. So we really, really have learned every area of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from them is this particular narration of Aisha radiallahu anha regarding the night prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fact that he would rest until the muadhin would tell him that the congregation has gathered for the salah. Our time sadly has come to an end, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, when we when Allah brings us together, inshallah, in the upcoming week in the upcoming lesson, we will continue with the remaining ahadith of this particular chapter and then move on to chapter 128, which talks about the manners of laying down, and the issue I spoke to you about, whether you're allowed to lie down on your back, whether you're allowed to lie down on your stomach, whether you're allowed to lie down on your left side, whether you're allowed to lie down in a way where you put one foot on top of the other, and so on and so forth. That's chapter 128, and that will be next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا. هذا والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Sheikh Sajid, once again, Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you and accept it from you, inshallah, and we hope to catch up and speak to you next week, Friday, inshallah.
Inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا.